My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Hour 2 of Bears Overnight with yours truly, Rami Makhlouf. Want to hear a lot from you guys. 312-644-6767. I know our post-game coverage was a little different than usual this week as we had the marathon coverage here on The Score today. Maybe you didn't get your thoughts in earlier. Me and Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass are here for you overnight with any Bears thoughts you might have at 312-644-6767 after they topped the Jaguars today. 35-16, the final. 5 touchdowns by the offense. Another great day for Caleb Williams. 226, 4 touchdowns to 1 interception. A passer rating of 124, QB rating of 88.4. Just a good all-around day. Another great day for DeAndre Swift. Another great day for the defense. I want to hear from you guys at 312-644-6767 before we hear from Matt Eberflus, Caleb Williams, and many, many more throughout the overnight here on The Score. Let's go out to Oak Forest and hear from Ryan, who wants to talk Bears. What you got, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Hey. Good to hear from you guys.
Thanks.
So our guys showed no weaknesses. This is the second week in a row that we dominated a team suffering from, you know, calf scratch fever. I mean, it really seems like the Jags will be going under another regime change and another, you know, uniform redesign probably. that's going to change it, right? They actually left to come here on Thursday afternoon following some minor flight delays, but they still plan for Thursday. So I can understand why some might see it's an easy win. You know, we left on Monday. But let's rewind back to, 2020, I think. It was a Nagy year. We lost to a bad Raiders team in London. And we pretty much did the same thing as far as leaving late and also just getting back home ASAP. And that kind of ticks me off because not only are you dealing with more of a jet lag, but you really shouldn't rob these guys of a nice little vacation across the pond. It's good for team building and really gets the respect from the players towards staff. I know it seems small, but these are the little things that I like that separate the current regime from previous ones.
Now, Ryan, that's a good point. I appreciate the call. And again, it is those little things. I was talking the last segment about moving out of the tier of bad and beating teams like Carolina and Jacksonville and beating them the way that teams that are a tier above them do. And a lot of that comes in the details in terms of moving up tier to tier, level to level. That stuff is in the details, man. And you got to give Matt Eberflus and his staff credit for being prepared for this one. This isn't an easy thing to do, to take your team across the globe and have them ready on a completely. I know they go from time zone to time zone here in the States, but that's a much different time zone, and there are a lot of logistics that go into getting there, getting the practice schedule right, getting these guys into a routine, and being ready to play football at what for their body clocks is 8:30 in the morning on a Sunday, and to have them ready to go and have them play at the level that they did today. Props, kudos to Matt Eberflus and his staff. That goes back to coaching in terms of the preparation for a game and preparation for a game that has unusual circumstances like this one. You got to give him credit. And yeah, Matt Nagy's squad was not ready for that game against the Raiders a few years ago in London. And so again, moving in the right direction, man, moving in the right direction. And it looks like this is different than incarnations of the Bears that we've seen in the past. Get a couple texts in, then back to your calls at 312-644-6767. This from the 224. Great start for the Bears. Love what they are doing so far. Just holding out complete excitement until they play against the NFC North teams, in which my opinion is the toughest division in the league. Dude, the North is tough. The North is very, very tough. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. What some of the other teams in the North did today and just what this division is doing as a whole. This is a really, really good division. And I don't want to say like it casts a shadow over what the Bears did today when you look at what the Packers did today and what the Lions did today and what this division has done and what that might mean for the second half. But man, it does, like when you step back and look at the whole picture, it does put the challenge of what the Bears have in front of them into focus and into perspective. You know what I mean? Like, and kind of keeps you from getting too far ahead of yourself with the Bears' excitement after a performance like what they had today, because it is a really good division. And I'm trying not to do what the texter there did in his text, which is to go, yeah, this is good today, but man, the North is tough in the second half of that schedule. No, man, let's just be here now. You know what I mean? As people who teach meditation will try to tell you, just be here now. You know, let's just be in the moment and enjoy this while it's happening and the progress that they're making. And then let's see where they're at, because that is where you're really going to find out. That's when you really are going to get the measuring stick or the ruler out and find out who this Bears team is against some real competition and who they are within this division, because that's obviously the first step into legitimizing yourself as a franchise that can be talked about for Super Bowls and things like that. You got to get through this North, and it is a tough division to get through right now. And it's going to present a really tough challenge having to face this division six times in the back half of the schedule.
There's like two sides to this, because obviously, you know, you could have another division where you kind of know it's a cakewalk and you're like, oh, sweet, we've made it to the top. But I feel like it's going to be more satisfying if they do get to this top, having to go through the Minnesotas, having to go through the Detroits. I hate to bring them up. Obviously, Green Bay doesn't seem like they're going anywhere either. This is not going to be easy. And if they can somehow manage their way, I mean, if it's fast, great. If it takes a few more years, whatever. If they somehow get to where Ryan Poles is saying, we're going to take the North and never give it back, huge props, because everybody else in this division is clearly getting better. And if they somehow manage to get to the top, big props to them.
But look, we were talking before the break about where you're at right now heading into the bye. And I'd like to throw that question out there to Bears fans. Are they at, behind, ahead of where you thought they'd be heading into this bye, sitting here at 4-2? And looking at the schedule that they have ahead of them, Tyler, 4-2 and at least two of the next three games look very winnable in Arizona and New England. We'll see. Washington's been playing very well. Jaden Daniels has been playing very well. But you should be able to come out of this first half of the schedule and go into that tough stretch of schedule at 6-3. And if that's the case, go 4-4 in the back half, and you're probably talking about a playoff berth. You know what I mean? And we'll see where they get those four wins. You also have Seattle and San Francisco mixed in with those six divisional games. You'd like to get three of those in the division if you could, and split with your division. But if any, by hook or by crook, if you come out of the first half of this schedule 6-3, and then go into that back half and win four of those last eight very tough games, I'm going to be happy with the way that this season turns out.
Yeah, I had the Bears, you know, deep down inside of me, huge fan. I genuinely did have the Bears winning 10 games. I'm like, it's totally possible that they can do this. 6-3 after this stretch seems very reasonable. That second part, like you said, Rami, is going to be tough. But again, the defense plays very opportunistic. Look what they did against the Lions last year, and the Lions nearly made the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Anything is Minnesota too. I know, obviously, rotating quarterbacks, but they've played Minnesota really, really tough last year as well. Anything is possible.
Speaking of that Washington game, got a text here. Can't wait for Week 8. I hope they can get the W and Caleb plays well. The Caleb disrespect coupled with the Daniels hype is so annoying. It doesn't bother me so much. Dude, Jaden Daniels has been really damn good.
Oh,
man.
He has
been really damn good. Now, Caleb Williams should have been Offensive Rookie of the Week last week when you look at the numbers that the two guys put up. And really, while it looked lopsided, especially, I want to say, through 4 weeks, it looked really lopsided what Jaden Daniels was doing compared to Caleb Williams. But Caleb Williams has closed the gap in a lot of those categories and has actually surpassed Jaden Daniels in some of those. He has more passing touchdowns. Jaden Daniels has done a lot of his damage on the ground and with his legs and running for touchdowns. But they're never going to not be compared. As long as both of those guys are playing at a high level in the NFL. Somebody the other night when I was hosting compared it to LeBron and Melo. And throw Darko. I don't know who the Darko Milicic is in that scenario.
Completely irrelevant in this analogy,
but I don't think there's going to be any getting away from comparing those two guys. And I don't think it's unfair. You know what? I don't. I think we should hold. Now, again, I'm not putting it so much on Caleb Williams, but we should hold the Bears organization and Shane Waldron and the big picture. We should hold them accountable to developing a franchise quarterback and Caleb Williams blossoming into a guy who made it worth the number one pick in the NFL draft and who lives up to that generational talent label that he had coming into the draft.
Yeah, I know both of the guys have clearly said that they don't want to be compared to other people. Caleb said it this past week. Jaden Daniels said, you know, he doesn't want to be compared to Lamar Jackson because obviously they just played the Ravens. A lot of people are comparing Daniels to Lamar, but think of how these two came into the NFL. Caleb was your 2022 Heisman winner at USC. Jaden Daniels was your 2023 Heisman winner at LSU. They came into the NFL setting the college world on fire. Obviously, two franchises thought they were getting surefire guys. Chicago thought that with Caleb. DC thought that with Jaden. Like you said, whether they like it or not, they are forever going to be talked about and linked.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, Mitch Trubisky will never shake the label or the narrative that the Bears took him before Patrick Mahomes.
Ugh.
And the Bears will never shake that. Ryan Pace will never shake that. You know what I mean? That stuff matters. That stuff 100% matters.
And now I'm thinking about that 26-3 game that Kansas City beat them on Sunday Night Football at Soldier Field.
And if I hate to go down this road, but we're talking about this comparison and the way that people compare quarterbacks taken in the same class. Man, if Caleb Williams doesn't pan out, and right now it looks like he will, all right, and I believe he will, just so everybody is clear on what I'm saying. I'm just throwing this hypothetical out there and going down this path. If Caleb Williams doesn't pan out and Jaden Daniels does, Ryan Poles will have passed up on C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels to get Caleb Williams. You know, like that's what's on the line here in terms of Ryan Poles. Well, his career, really, but his reputation and things like that. Like that's what it'll come down to. If Caleb Williams doesn't pan out, we'll look back on it and go, you passed up on C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels to take that guy? You know what I mean? Same way we do when we talk about Mitch Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes. That will happen. Now, hopefully it won't happen, but I'm just saying, if that scenario played out, that is exactly how that thing would be framed
just
and portrayed.
Like, yeah, oh, absolutely. Just like how Ryan Pace was forever linked to Mitch Trubisky, to your point, in 2017, he got his guy. Ryan Poles will forever be linked to Caleb Williams. Whatever Caleb Williams' success or lack thereof is in the NFL, Ryan Poles picked him as his quarterback. So he's going to live with that for the rest of his time here in Chicago.
312-644-6767. Your thoughts on the Bears 35-16 win over the Jaguars today? And are they at, behind, or ahead of where you thought they'd be heading into this bye week at 4-2? And not just the record, but what you've seen on the field, the eye test, and what your eyes tell you when you're watching this game. And the vibe check. There's always the vibe check. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Phil from Mount Prospect. You're on Bears Overnight. What's up, Phil?
Oh, good evening. I'm glad to hear you on the show. I've alluded to this in some previous calls I've had. You've talked about scripting plays tonight, and the Bears have gotten off to slow starts in games the entire season. Even Carolina, you know, started out with a 7-0 lead last week. Every game we've been in, the opposition has scored first. I think we have 10 points in the first quarter all year collectively, and teams are winning the coin toss and giving the Bears the ball first, and we're doing nothing on the first possession. What I would like to see happen is take that first possession and score a touchdown right away, because then your play calling becomes a lot easier and you have more options in your play calling once you get beyond those scripted plays. But I think those scripted plays can help us get off to a better start going forward, and we certainly can't do any worse. Even today, we had 2 3 and outs, had no first downs or points in the first quarter once again.
Yeah, so, I appreciate the call, Phil. And that was very frustrating for me, man, watching. Because it was the same stuff that we've seen hamper this offense early in the year. And prior to the Carolina, hell, even in the Carolina game, they got off to a slow start. It wasn't until midway through the second quarter that they really got the offense humming there. And I don't know what it is exactly. Obviously, the scripting plays thing was factoring in, or the lack thereof of the scripting plays was factoring in to the slow starts and just poor performance by the offense entirely through the first 3 weeks. But I don't know what it is that can get that offense going early, and we haven't seen it yet. But if we're talking about the back half of that schedule, that type of stuff will kill you against good teams, man. You will find they were down 3-0 today against this Jaguars team. You could have easily, if it was a better team, found yourself down 10 or 14-0 with the way that the Bears offense started the game today. And another thing that got under my skin that's been an issue with Matt Eberflus was not challenging that play. The first quarter of that football game today was frustrating for me. I cannot lie. Now, I never felt like, oh my God, they're in trouble, they're going to lose this game. But I was just sitting there going, they shouldn't be struggling like this. I felt like they could unlock it and like they could figure it out while I was watching it. But I was like, why is it taking so long? And even against a team like Jacksonville, that could come back to bite you, and that could come back to cost you a football game.
It was more of the same that first quarter, more of the same.
And they got to get that figured out. They got to get that figured out before the second half of the schedule. Like I talked about earlier in the show, use this first half of the schedule, and especially this stretch of 5 or 6 games that they're in right now against lower tier competition. I don't want to word it wrongly and make it sound like the Bears are world beaters, but teams that they're better than. Use this first half of the schedule to A, stack up some wins and gain yourself some margin for error in the standings and in the playoff picture, but B, keep getting better at things. Keep on adding things to your arsenal and improving on things so that when you get to the second half, things are clicking, things are humming, things are clicking on all cylinders, and you're not starting off a game against the Packers in week 10 by having 2 straight 3-and-outs and finding yourself down 2 scores before you even know what happened. That'll happen against better football teams. You can do what they did today against the Jaguars. That'll happen against better football teams. And I was really, really frustrated with the way that they started the game today. But they win 35-16. Want your thoughts at 312-644-6767. Shoot me a text. Give me a call like Phil from Mount Prospect did. Phil, you're on Score Overnights. What's up, buddy? Oh, did I already take Phil? Oh, I already took Phil. All right, let me read a text. It's Bears Overreaction Monday. Somebody texted in, the Bears finally kicked arse. Can I say arse on the radio? I believe.
Sure.
I think
that's, why not?
That's FCC compliant. And here's a text from the 773. And it seems Caleb is mature enough to objectively self-critique his growth as a leader, but will heavily be weighed on wins and losses. And both in his on-field interview with Stacey Dales today and in his post-game press conference, and we'll hear that post-game press conference a little later on in the show, the first thing Caleb Williams did was say, I can't do that. I can't make those types of mistakes like the one I made on the interception to DJ Moore. And he knows it. And I love that he sees that, and he's willing to self-analyze, he's willing to self-critique. And even after a game like today, he's kind of doing the same thing that I'm doing when I talk about the start of that game and how good things were today. They could have been even better, and they should have been even better, and they need to be even better as the schedule grinds on and you face better teams. Caleb Williams knows that he can't make mistakes like that, like the one that he made on that pass to DJ Moore, against better football teams. If they're going to win games and if they're going to be taken seriously as a contender, that he can't make mistakes like that. He knows it, and I love that he knows it, and it's the first thing on his mind, even after he has probably the best game of his career today.
He's a rookie. He's going to make those kind of mistakes, but obviously, to your point again, if the Bears are going to be in this sort of situation where a rookie quarterback is leading a veteran, talented team to the playoffs, potentially, yeah, you can't. There's growth, there's development, there's all that, but you got to play like a veteran because you're on a veteran team and not make those kind of decisions where I'm going to throw with a safety high. They made him pay today.
I mean, that was a really, really well drawn up play, man. You got to give Waldron credit on that. You got to give DJ Moore credit on that for running the route so well and getting open and beating his man and in position to score a touchdown. And Caleb Williams just makes a rookie mistake. And like I said, that wasn't those types of things aren't the type of things that make me want to punch a wall, or to quote the great Doug Buffone, stick a pencil in my neck. You know what I mean? But when I see a veteran offensive line that can't block, that bothers me. When I see a veteran offensive coordinator making some bad calls, when I see a coach in his third year making mistakes that a coach shouldn't make, that stuff drives me crazy. Caleb Williams making a throw like that, and especially if he's going to learn from it, it doesn't bother me that much.
I will say, too, maybe I was a little bit overreacting to that interception, I think, in the moment, because it was a third down play, and that was when they were driving. I think it was 7-3 at that time. They were driving. They were putting together another really, really good string of plays, and the play before, they ran Roshan Johnson up the gut, didn't get any yards, and I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, that's your third down play? You need a yard, and you take a shot. Maybe they could have switched. They do that play on second down. All right, we didn't get this, then go for the tough yards. That was one of the things I was a little bit not happy about earlier in the season, too, with Shane Waldron. I didn't necessarily hate some of his calls. I just felt like he called them at the wrong times and the wrong downs, and that was a minor complaint of mine. I maybe try that on second down and then use Roshan Johnson on third down to just get that one tough
yard. And this kind of goes back to the scripting of plays.
100%.
And you in the clip we played of Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes, he's so good, man. And he'll be on with Mully and Hall at 7 this morning on a Football Monday here on The Score, and he's on with the guys on Spiegel and Holmes every Thursday. He is so, so good. But what you're talking about, when he in that clip you played, he talked about stacking up plays and showing the defense these different looks and seeing how they're going to react to it. It wasn't in the clip that you included, but later on, he referred to it as the first 15 plays are really about gathering information, about collecting information, that if we throw a 3 wide receiver set at them, what are they going to do? If we run a guy in motion from left to right, if we run 2 guys in crossing motion behind Caleb Williams, how does that defense react? It's about gathering information, and exactly what you were just talking about, Tyler. Let's hear Olin Krutz.
Well, usually on Wednesdays, first and second down, right speeds, and then third down on Thursday, and maybe a little short yardage goal line, and Friday, short yardage goal line. The whole game plan is in. Saturday, you walk in for walkthrough, and you usually get your first 15. So you have it all day Saturday, and then you have it Saturday night, and then you have it Sunday morning. So you see how much you can prepare for those first plays. Now, obviously, things change, right? I mean, first down, you lose a yard, you obviously can't go to your second down play, right? Third down, if you're third and eight, that wasn't the plan going to the game. So, but just to have the first, 15 ideas in your head, and then you can really go, especially now with these guys with their iPads and their computers and all the film work you can do on the airplane, on the bus, in the hotel room, the first 15 is a huge advantage, I would imagine. And like the Bears players there were probably doing, I would probably be asking for Coach Waldron or Coach Morgan or whoever my coach was, hey, man, I need to know what the first 10 to 15 ideas were so I can get ready for this game, really study film, really make sure I'm doing the right things because, as you know, with a young quarterback, starting fast is important.
There's Olin Krutz. That was with Spiegel and Holmes. He'll be on with Mully and Haw this morning at 7. DJ Moore joins the guys at 8. All part of a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I'm Robbie Maklouf. It's Score Overnights after a Bears 35-16 win over the Jaguars today. Want to hear from you guys on the phones at 312-644-6767. You can shoot me a text using that number as well and get your thoughts in on the win, whether the Bears are at, behind, ahead of where you thought they'd be heading into this bye at 4-2. I'm Robbie Maklouf. It's Bears Overnights, and we'll hear from Matt Eberflus as well right after this on Chicago Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
70 the score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Maklouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
and with you until 5 a.m. after a 35-16 win over the Jaguars for the Bears today in jolly old England. Took me an hour and a half to bust that one out. I had to do it at some point, right? Got to do it at some point. And plenty of time, plenty of room for your calls, your texts at 312-644-6767 after, like I said, the Bears topped the Jaguars 35-16 today. Still to come, we'll hear from Caleb Williams, who had another fantastic day, took another big step in his development. Keenan Allen, his sort of breakout game in a Bears uniform, and the newest Bears long snapper, Cole Kmet, who also plays a little tight end a little bit. So we'll hear from all those guys throughout the show this morning. But let's hear from the head coach, Matt Eberflus, after the Bears win over the Jaguars this morning in London.
First of all, I want to thank the fans. You know, the fans were great all week. You know, we had a big group out there in the stadium. So my hat's off to them. Bears fans always travel well, and that was proven again today. And then really thankful to the staff. You know, our logistics group, you know, Kyle and Jay, and then security, Tarpy and Pete, did a wonderful job all week. Team Ed and our equipment. Did a wonderful job as well. Grounds crew, Ken Marock had that field, our practice field all set, and our performance team working with our players, getting them ready to go. Salazar and Jimmy Arthur, and then Andre Tucker is our trainer, does a wonderful job as well. But again, most of all, thankful to the players. They did a really good job of leadership. We were out there, you know, in the countryside a little bit, and but it was good. It was more like a training camp feel for us. And we're really big into building our relationships, you know, with each other in the springtime and the summertime, and that paid off. Guys did a really good job the whole week working the plans. The coordinators did a nice job of that as well, getting those plans implemented. So they did a nice job there. In terms of the game evaluation, I thought was really good complimentary football during the course of us, you know, taking the ball away on defense and scoring those 14 points off of those takeaways. A couple of good two-minute drives there, really good two-minute drive at the half for the offense, and then a four-minute at the end of the game, you know, to expire it, you know, waste some time there and do a good job with that. You know, the DBs that came in, you know, that we had some injuries. The DBs that came in there, Blackwell came in the middle of the game for Kyler. You know, and obviously Jalen Jones did a nice job. Elijah Hicks did a nice job coming in there, and that's the partnership they have with their coaches. Coaches got them ready to go. We're always ready to go in terms of the depth part of it. And that's a good job of coaching those guys as well, but really good job of playing. A couple guys had a really good games. Obviously, Caleb had a nice game. You know, I always look at the QBR, and man, that was good. It was in the 120s again. Really good, solid work there by him in terms of distributing the ball to Cole. You know, Cole had some really nice catches, a couple of touchdowns. First man in the history of ball to get two touchdowns and snap it right afterward. Maybe, I don't know. But then Keenan made some really nice catches out there, some tight windows. And, you know, I thought our D-line really rushed well today, got some really good pressures in there. Linebackers, those guys are always playing hot. So it's a good day by all of them. And then working into the bye week, you know, so we got the bye week here. Guys will come in. We'll evaluate this game. Get it all cleaned up, and those guys really need to do a good job of taking care of their minds, their bodies, and their spirits to come back for our next rack of games that we have leading into this schedule. So with that, I'll take questions.
Matt, how important was it for Caleb and for you guys as a team for him to continue that progress that he's been making and that momentum that he's had?
Yeah, it's always good, right? That's consistency. You know, you make the progress and you want it to be linear, but it's not always that way. But we feel that, you know, he took a step in the right direction. Our football team took a step in the right direction of, you know, playing that complimentary football and him being able to distribute the ball and operate. You know, we ran some, you know, no huddle and some different things in there where he had to operate there at the line and did a nice job today.
How about his third down plays today? When you get in those third and five, third and seven, they're not going to be highlight plays, but they're kind of the gritty, necessary plays that you need to keep going.
Yeah, you need those to keep the drives alive. You know, we help expire the game at the end there with one of those slants, and it's important that even third and fourth down, you know, we're going to go for those things in the quad zone area. And, you know, the play's got to be good, which Shane dialed up some good plays today, and they got to execute them. So overall, it was good.
Coach, you mentioned Caleb's continued growth to start the season. What is it that you've seen from him that separates him from other rookie quarterbacks that you've seen throughout your career?
Just his ability to learn. you know, and grow and want to get better. You know, he knows that he's always working and improving and growing. He knows that it's going to be a big, this year is a big year for him to be able to learn the game up here. And, you know, he's always been good enough in terms of the talent and those things, but he's learning the game and learning our offense and learning our skill sets that we have and learning new things that they can do. You know, so there's a lot, our guys have wide skill sets, you know, so we want to utilize those guys' skill sets to be able to widen that so we can really expand our offense as we go through the year. So he's doing a good job with that.
Coach, how is Kyler Gordon?
Yeah, well, Kyler's, so I'll go back to the injury report. So we reported a couple. So we got Kyler Gordon's hamstring, you know, so he ended up feeling a hamstring right there in one of those plays in the second half. And like I said, Blackwell did a nice job coming in. And then our long snapper, Scott Daly's got a knee. So we'll see where that is as well as we get back to Hallis Hall tomorrow.
Kyler seemed like he was moving around okay after the game. Is your early impression of that it's minor?
We'll see. I'm hopeful that's what it is. I am. Kyler's a really good player for us. He plays at the hot spot for us at the nickel. So, yeah, we're hopeful.
With Keenan Allen, I mean, the stat line aside, the production aside, the role he played, the effect he had in your passing game, is that what you envisioned when you guys brought him in?
Yeah, we've all seen it, right? He's had a long career. He's made a lot of plays. He's always open, that guy, right? I've tried to double cover him in front, behind, sideways. It doesn't work. You know, he's always open, so he's an exciting player.
Coach, you mentioned the...
I'll come back to you.
Sorry, Coach, you mentioned the fans there at the beginning, and there was definitely the feel of a home game out there with the atmosphere and the noise. How much of an impact would you say that had on your team's performance and raising their
I think spirits? A big impact. It always is, you know. I know this wasn't considered a home game, but I think we went 9 straight now at home, so it's always a big impact. Our fans in Chicago do a great job of that, are loud and always into the game, and they impact it. It's very difficult for the other team.
Brian Thomas has had an impressive start to his rookie career, but he had 3 catches today. Mm-hmm. How did you manage to neutralize him so effectively?
Yeah, he's a heck of a player. He really is. I watched a lot of tape on him during the draft process, and man, he's good. He's fast. He can go. He can get the deep ball, and he's going to have an outstanding career. You know, for himself and for the Jags. So he's exciting to watch. And in terms of the 3 catches, you know, that's NFL ball, right? That's the way it goes sometimes.
And is there a difference between Josh Blackwell coming in a pinch and Cole Kmet coming in a pinch like he did? Because Josh does that all week, mm-hmm. and Cole probably not very much. Is that, from your perspective, is that a little bit of a difference? Is there a difference?
Yeah, Cole, we practice that every Thursday. You know, he gets the short snaps and long snaps every Thursday. It's part of our routine that we have because he is the backup. So he does a good job with those guys. A couple snaps were high, but you know, he did a good job.
Big of an impact did DeAndre Swift make both running times?
Very big, very big. You know, the big thing about Swift is it's get him out in space. You know, because then he can be electric. You know, and he's running the ball. I was really pleased how he ran the ball today. You know, I think it was in the 5s, and I think their run average was in the low 4s, I believe. So it was both good on both regards in terms of the average. But you need some explosives, and you got to limit those on defense. And I thought we did that on both sides of the ball today. But again, that's the perimeter blocking, the line finishing everything they do, and playing the way we play.
Two more. The interception that Caleb threw could have been pivotal in the game. What did it do for you guys that your defense came out there and got a 3-and-out right away? And how does that speak to the blueprint that you and Ryan had in place for a rookie quarterback coming in?
Yeah, just, you know, we understand that might happen on occasion. And that was a shot that we took. You know, that should be our ball or no one's. But they ended up coming up with it, made a nice play on it, and our defense responded. You know, I always talk to the guys about responding. Complimentary football is about helping the other person out. You know, so when something happens, or good or bad, you take advantage of the great opportunity and make it even better. Or when something happens that was unforeseen, then they rise up to the occasion and help the other person out, other group out. And that's what complimentary football is.
Yes, 3 wins in a row. You're 4-2, your quarterback's playing well. How do you feel right now about the direction the Bears are going?
I think we're in a good spot. I really do. I think we got a lot of improvement to do. But for the first 6 games, I think we're in a good spot. And we have to get our minds and our bodies and everything right to go on to these next 6 games, starting with the first one.
Coach, Elijah Hicks had a big game today in some important times. How important is it to have a character like that in the defense?
It's great. It's great. You know, you have a guy that's in a backup role that's working his butt off on special teams, and then he gets his opportunity, and then you see him perform like that. Even Blackwell, you know, Jalen Jones, all those guys. It's always good to see that because they're working at it just like everybody else. And when they get their opportunity and they seize that opportunity and play well, it's always fun to see.
There's Matt Eberflus after a Bears 35-16 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars in London today. There at the end, and he touched on it a few times throughout the press conference about those guys in the secondary, Blackwell and the rest of the guys who stepped up when they got their opportunity due to the injuries in that Bears secondary. And that's just the type of stuff that you need when you're trying to put together a winning season and a playoff season in the NFL. Injuries are a reality of this sport. Guys are going to go down and other guys are going to have to step up and do the job when that happens. That's how good teams be good teams and win games and have winning records at the end of the season. And so huge what those guys were able to step in and do today. And in a couple of spots, they were sort of the beneficiaries, being in the right place at the right time when somebody else on the defense made a big play, a big hit to knock the ball out or whatever the case might be. But that's part of doing your job, is being in the right place at the right time and capitalizing it and making the plays that happen right in front of you and that you have the opportunity to make. So huge bonus and plus for the Bears that those guys were able to step up today with all the injuries.
Like you said earlier, Rami, a lot of turnovers do amount to luck.
Yeah.
But when you, and I'm talking about the Bears defense, when you do this on a consistent level, like you said, what is it, 12 games in a row?
12 of their last 13.
12 of their last 13, they forced a turnover. I don't think that's luck.
I think 7 or 8 games in a row is the number.
Just a crazy number. I don't think that real honestly amounts to luck. They're being opportunistic. They're taking advantage when they have a spot where they can pounce on their prey, and they've capitalized.
This is semantics to a degree, but I've always, you know how in baseball they have official scores and the scorer will call it, it's a hit or it's an error, whatever the case might be. I always thought that in football you should have official scores and there should be giveaways and there should be takeaways. You know what I mean? Like when the quarterback just throws up a dumb pass and it lands in the hands of a defender. If that Caleb Williams throw today, it did end up being an interception right there inside the 5-yard line. That's a giveaway. Caleb Williams made a bad throw and gave the ball to the other team. With the Bears, with a lot of these turnovers, they're takeaways. They're hit the guy and knock the ball out. They're hit the quarterback while he's throwing the ball and it flutters up in the air like a dead duck or whatever the case might be. The giveaways are the ones that fall under the luck category. When you're making the turnovers happen, those are takeaways. That's a defense physically taking the football away from the offense. And I think there is a distinct difference between the Bears, between the two. And I think that the Bears, more often than not, the turnovers that they get are more of the takeaway variety rather than the giveaway variety. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. Okay. I think that's a great comment. Unfortunately, I don't think it's ever going to happen. But if it would, I think today you're 100% right. The Caleb Williams throw, that's definitely a giveaway. The fumble to open the second half, 100% takeaway.
Yes.
And I think this one's a little bit more 50-50, but I'll credit Josh Blackwell with that takeaway on that interception.
Yeah, absolutely.
He jumped the route. He made a great play. And I mean, just again, too, doing a lot of these coordinator shifts here at the score, I get do the coordinators when they talk at Media Day. Richard Hightower praises Josh Blackwell every single time he steps up to the podium. I have no doubt after that interception today, he's going to praise him for his defensive efforts rather than the special teams efforts, which is why he's always praising him in those press conferences.
I love seeing those guys step up, get that opportunity and to step up. That's huge for them. And especially like on the national stage, you know, all their family and friends are watching. So that's very, very cool for those guys. You wish they didn't get the opportunity because it means there was injuries, but great for them to get the opportunity and step up. And it doesn't seem like any of these injuries are of the long-term variety. So hopefully you have your full complement of secondary in a couple of weeks against Washington. And on top of that, you have these guys waiting in the wings who now have that experience, knowing that they can and have done it on an NFL field before.
Matt Eberflus said it again on Friday about Elijah Hicks and Jalen Jones stepping in for the injured Jaquan Brisker and Tyreek Stevenson. These are guys who have been here. They know our system. They know what to do. And after that first drive, I was a little bit nervous. Like, is this Jacksonville offense going to pick up right where they left off last week? But this is honestly, Rami, my most impressive thing of the game. Caleb Williams was great. We're not taking that away from him. The defense, I felt like, adjusted excellent with how banged up they were in their secondary, their strength. Kyler Gordon goes down. They never relished. They never folded. They never gave Jacksonville control of the game once the offense took the lead. I just thought it was an excellent job of adjusting by Matt Eberflus on that defense.
They looked like, and as they should, we had the caller earlier who said, don't look at these games as you're facing lesser competition. The Bears aren't there yet, but that they looked, and I think, as they should, like the better football team from start to finish. They were able, after a sputtering start, to take the lead, and it felt like they had the game in control from the second quarter on.
Oh, for sure. It was Jacksonville for 25% of the game, and it was the Bears with total command for 75% of the game.
Couple other things to take away from the Matt Eberflus press conference, and plenty of time for your calls, your texts at 312-644-6767 on Bears Overnight. Rami Makhlouf, your host. That's, I just drew a complete blank. That's on your name, of all things, dude. It is almost 2 in the morning.
I was going to say, it's 1:47 in the morning.
Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass. They're here for your phone calls at 312-644-6767. But a couple other takeaways from Matt Eberflus's press conference. I talked earlier about the process and the challenge of a London game and an overseas game. The first thing Matt Eberflus did to start his press conference and his post-game like pep talk in the locker room after the game, thanked the staff, thanked the fans, team leaders for having the football team ready for this game, which is a challenge in and of itself to go to London and put together a game. And it sounds like, just from the way he was talking about it, like they use this as like a team and chemistry building opportunity. Nobody wants to go to London. It's like Hard Knocks. You know what I mean? Nobody wants it, but if you're going to get it, might as well use it as an opportunity. And it sounds like they did that. And honestly, from day one, with Matt Eberflus, for all the doubts that I've had, but from day one of Matt Eberflus, part of coaching, part of leadership is relationship building and is chemistry building and culture building. And I've always thought Matt Eberflus sort of had that facet of coaching down. I just needed him to be a better coach. Like on game day, I just need him to make better decisions sometimes. But I do think that from the leadership standpoint, the relationship, the chemistry building, he is very, very good at that. He talked a couple of times about Caleb Williams and the offense's ability to get the ball at the end of the game and to sort of end the game, to drive down and end the game. And they kind of did that. They sort of did that on not the last drive that they had where Bagent came in and just knelt on the ball. But I think he's talking about when they got the ball in the fourth quarter and held on to it for 3 minutes and 37 seconds and converted a few first downs, including really nice pass to Keenan Allen over the middle in a really tight window.
But fourth and three, right?
Yes. But at the same time, they missed that field goal and didn't really finish the drive the way you'd like to see them finish the drive. But I get what he's saying, that they were able to get the ball, sustain a drive, kill the clock, and sort of take any hope that Jacksonville had or any wind in their sails or in their, just take it right away from them. And it's something that I was pointing to in the Rams game, where for all the good that they did offensively in that game, they got the ball twice at the end of the game with a chance to put it away and run out the clock, and gave the ball to Matthew Stafford of all people twice, which is very dangerous. He has more comebacks in the fourth quarter than any other quarterback in the NFL since he's come into this league. So that was one of the things I was pointing to in that game of, yeah, there were positives, but there was a lot of things that you could have done better and should have done better. That was one of them. So I guess that drive today that Eberflus referred to a couple times, better than what we saw against the Rams when they had a chance to get the ball and end the game. He also talked about the consistency with Caleb Williams, and that's really what I'm looking for. The numbers don't have to be astronomical and out of this world every time Caleb Williams steps on the field, but I would like to see like a base level of performance that we can expect on a week-in, week-out basis from Caleb Williams and the offense. And I think that's what Matt Eberflus is talking about when he talks about consistency. The Bears' offense the last 2 weeks, Caleb Williams has been good, but I think that there's more there. But if they can just give me this as a base level performance, and then there'll be weeks where there's 100 or 200 yards added on to that, whether through the air or on the ground or whatever the case might be. But when he talks about consistency, I just need a base level. I need to know that this offense can go out on any given week against any given defense and put up 24 points. You know what I mean? Like, if I can get that out of Caleb Williams in the offense, I'll be happy. He talked about the injuries. Gordon was a hamstring injury. He said he's hopeful. They'll find out more when they get back home and can run all the tests and everything. Scott Daly, the long snapper, it was a knee injury that took him out. He didn't seem to have much of any idea about that injury and how long it could keep him out. And then he talked about the Cole Kmet long snapping. He said he long snaps every Thursday. Can we just take a couple minutes to appreciate Cole Kmet and what he did today, dude? Because that is not... Tyler, did you play high school, college, any football at any level and ever have to long snap?
I actually never played football. Time growing up.
I didn't play at any high level, but I was fat growing up, so they would just, you know, the fat guys, they just stick them in the middle of the line, and they were like, hey, why don't you try long snapping? And a lot of the rules have been changed since then, but it is not, first of all, just the act of snapping the football. Like, it looks like you're just, I don't know, it looks easy, because these guys make it look easy, but it is not easy to snap the ball, and then blocking assignments. You literally have your head between your legs, and then you got to look up after you snap it and figure out your blocking assignment and who's trying to run past you to block the kick. It is a really, really difficult job, and to just go out there and do it, and they said that the snap on the Cairo Santos missed field goal was a little high. I can excuse that. To go out there and do it and not be like a major detriment to your football team is really, really impressive for Cole Kmet today.
That's what I said too, on that high snap for the missed field goal. Cole Kmet's done enough already today.
Yeah, really.
He's excused.
For real. Because a lot of the time, I mean, it seems like it's the last thing you think of if you're a football fan and you're watching your team out of sight. The last thing you think of is a long snapper. But it's happened in games before where a team loses their long snapper or their holder or their place kicker, and it changes decisions they make later in the game, where they'll go for a field goal or a 2-point conversion instead of doing whatever else they might do, because they don't trust the process of the snap, hold, and kick. You know what I mean? Teams have decided to go for a 2-point conversion or to go for it on fourth down rather than to take the field goal or the extra point because their long snapper or their kicker or their holder got hurt during that game. For him to go in there and sort of settle things and not be a detriment or a liability speaks volumes about Cole Kmet.
I think the line of the game broadcast, whatever you want to call it, Rich Eisen said it after both of those touchdowns that Kmet scored. There is no I in Kmet.
But there is a me.
Yes.
There is a me.
Easily the line of the game from Rich Eisen.
Jason Leeser, who covers the Bears for the Sun-Times, you've heard him here on The Score, he tweeted this. He said, story from the sideline from Cole Kmet. Richard Hightower, hey, Cole, Scott's hurt. Kmet, Tyler Scott? Hightower, no, Scott Daly, you have to long snap. Kmet, oh bleep. That was the exchange between Cole Kmet and Richard Hightower, the special teams coach.
And he did it.
He did it. He went out there and he performed admirably in the Bears' 35-16 win over the Jaguars today in London. We will hear from Cole Kmet later in the show, as well as Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen, and much, much more. But more than anything, I want to hear from you guys at 312-644-6767. Your thoughts on today's game, Caleb Williams' performance, where this team is at, headed into the bye week at 4-2. Any Bears thoughts you have, I'm here for them at 312-644-6767. Give me a call. Drop me a text. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's Bears Overnights, and I'm back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.